well. You know, there are times in our lives when we know that something new is coming, but we don't quite yet know what it will look like or what that will be. It could be like there's a great story of a blind man in Mark chapter 8 where Jesus meets this man in a village. The man, he's blind, he needs help. And so Jesus, he doesn't heal the man right there, but he takes him by the hand, and Jesus leads the man away to a spot outside the town. And along the way, you can just imagine, this blind man, he knows Jesus' reputation as a healer. He knows that Jesus is taking him somewhere to do something, but he doesn't yet know what's going to happen. There's times in our lives when we know that something new is coming, but we don't yet know what that will look like or what it might be. Another good example might be the results of the election we had just this past week on Tuesday. We had a national midterm election, and we know already there's going to be a new balance of power in Washington, D.C. all of a sudden, and we're all pretty sure that something's going to change, but what will that look like? What will happen, and to what end? Well, we're not sure. There's times in our lives when we look, or when we know that something new is coming, but we're not yet sure what that will look like or what that will be. And there's all sorts of other changes I could mention here. Well, one change in progress that has weighed heavily on the hearts and the minds of many Christians in America is the change in how people in America today are differently relating to Jesus. How people in America today are relating to the church. And you know, these changes really, they aren't anything new at this point. We've seen it happening for a while, but it's worth repeating the trends that we see in America today, right? For Americans in general, we no longer have a community expectation that everyone should go to church, and so we see more and more people choosing not to. We also see the percentage of Americans who identify themselves as Christians is shrinking, and at the same time, the percentage of Americans who claim no religion in particular is growing. At this point, nearly a quarter of Americans claim no religion at all. And in fact, contemporary Christian scholars, people who study missionary work and Christian missions, they now identify America as one of the largest mission fields in the world. There's roughly 103 million people in America today who would claim they are not Christian. This includes 74 million people who have no religion in particular, 27 million people who practice a non-Christian religion, and then another 2 million people who somehow, I'm not sure, but when the pollsters ask them what religion they follow, they say, I don't know. So, I don't know how that happens, but that's what they say. And now for those of us who know Jesus, for those of us who know how great it is to know Jesus, these are troubling changes to see, aren't they? They're troubling changes to see. We know that in Jesus' name we have forgiveness of sins. We know that in Jesus' name we are honored and accepted by God the Father in heaven. We know that in Jesus' name, you know, we are freed from the dark spiritual forces of the world, and we live in the victory that Jesus won over the devil and all evil forces. And for those of us who know Jesus, like I said, these are troubling changes to see because we know how good it is to know him. And it pains us to see that more and more our neighbors or our friends or our family members, our coworkers, don't know Jesus. And so we're sometimes tempted to fear. We're tempted to fret, perhaps. We might sometimes even wonder whether the church in America is failing. We might sometimes wonder whether the good news of Jesus Christ is going to be here in this place in 25 or 50 or 100 years from now. We might wonder whether our great-grandchildren will have churches to go to or pastors to learn from, or whether, you know, all of this might just be gone. Well, we wonder, but today we're starting a new message series. We're aiming directly at that anxiety that many of us feel because, well, you know what? We believe that Jesus is Lord of the church and we are his people, and we know that Jesus has died, Jesus has risen, and Jesus now lives exalted at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. He's Lord of heaven and earth, and we know he will come again to us. And so you know what? We know, and this is where we're starting, Jesus does not look at America today and worry. Jesus looks at our churches, our neighborhoods, the places where we work and play, and Jesus doesn't, you know, wring his hands as if everything is getting out of control, or as if the church in America has somehow failed at its job. No, Christ is Lord. And as the people of God living in this world, we know that Jesus, you know, he doesn't send us out to fight for his victory, because he's won that already. Jesus sends us out to fight from his victory on the cross, and he is in control. And so Jesus is actually way ahead of us here as we look at these changes in our society and our world. Jesus is not worried, and in fact, I believe that Jesus is already doing his work in our neighborhoods, in our places of work, in the parks we play in the stores we shop in our homes and communities. Jesus is there already. So that when we as Christians in America, when we see our culture changing, we see things like church attendance dropping, and we see more and more people claiming no religion at all, that doesn't mean that Jesus is losing. Jesus can't lose. He's already won. Jesus isn't losing, but I do believe that Jesus is leading the church in America to something new. And we don't yet know what that will look like or what it will be, but I think we can say that Jesus is beginning to teach us what it looks like to follow him in a culture, in a society that no longer believes he's Lord and Savior. Jesus is teaching us that he's all we need, and that things like influence in our culture, cultural control, those are nice to have, but Jesus can do his work without them. And we don't yet know where we're going to end up, but that's okay. Because do we need to worry where Jesus is leading us? I don't think so. We can trust him. And so let's take a look at our scripture reading for today, where we see Jesus actually calling his very first disciples. And Jesus called to his first disciples, the four we read about here were Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Jesus called to his very first disciples can teach us a lot about how Jesus works in our communities today. And we can read, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. That's chapter 1, verse 14. One of the nice things about the gospel, according to Mark, is Mark gets right to the action. He begins with John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets, and John the Baptist, he preaches in the wilderness and says, hey, everyone, God's chosen one is almost here. He's about to arrive. And then Jesus comes and is baptized by John, and then Jesus goes out and is tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, and that all happens in the first 13 verses. And now in verse 14, we see Jesus beginning his public ministry on earth. And so here Jesus proclaims the gospel. It's the good news of God. And what we're going to focus on is this statement where Jesus says, the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. And we know that when Jesus was saying these words, as Jesus traveled through these towns of Galilee, as he was teaching in the marketplaces, as he was speaking to passersby, the people to whom Jesus was speaking, they knew that the kingdom of God was good news for them. Because throughout the Old Testament, God's people had been set apart as a kingdom dedicated to the Lord. And they messed up often, that's true. And the kingdom of Jerusalem, the nation, the earthly kingdom, had fallen to foreign invaders. And as a result, the people had suffered, and they sure did suffer. But they knew that God had promised to bring his kingdom back to the earth. And so they would have known the promise, for example, that God made through his prophet Isaiah. And this is a verse we love to read around Christmas time because it's a prophecy that foretells the coming of God's chosen one. And Isaiah says that when the Savior comes, then of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. So the people knew that when the kingdom of God finally arrived, it would mean justice in the world. It would mean a return of righteousness to the earth. It would mean, too, mercy and forgiveness in the name of the Lord. So that when Jesus went out preaching and saying, hey, the time has come, the kingdom of God has arrived, they knew this is good news. And let's be really precise here. Let's listen closely to the words of Jesus, because Jesus, what he doesn't say, he doesn't say, hey, people, hang on, because the kingdom of God will be here soon. Like, it's almost here. Jesus does not say to the people, keep your eyes open because the kingdom of God is arriving even now. No, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God as an established fact. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. It's here already. Jesus says that redemption and restoration and forgiveness and mercy and justice have already arrived, and the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God has arrived before Jesus ever calls his disciples. It came without human help or effort, and that is because Jesus is the king of the kingdom of God, and where Jesus goes, there is the kingdom of God also. And so Jesus does not depend upon his disciples to spread the kingdom of God throughout the world, because Jesus is already doing that on his own. That's important. You might be wondering, well, then what exactly is there for the disciples to do? Because Jesus is calling these guys. Well, let's read a little further. And we can keep reading at verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. And so Jesus is speaking at this moment. I guess they're his future disciples, right? Jesus gives his future disciples a simple invitation here, and they take him up on it. Jesus says, "Come and follow me." Kind of at its most basic, its most literal, walk around behind me. Listen to me while I teach. Watch what I do. That's the invitation that Jesus gives. It's a simple invitation. Come and follow me. And this is a simple invitation, and I think that sometimes we lose sight of the fact of how simple this invitation is because, you know, we already know the end of the story. We already know where these guys are going to end up. We already know that these men will end up standing before kings and emperors, confessing their faith. We know that these men will end up spending their lives sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, that they will become missionaries and teachers and church leaders. We already know that three of these four men that Jesus calls between Peter and Andrew and James and John, three of them will end up giving their lives as martyrs. They'll remain faithful to Jesus even to death. And we've heard the end of the story already. And so when we hear Jesus give this invitation, we tend to think that Jesus is inviting these men to become church leaders and missionaries and teachers and martyrs and to do these great things and to give their lives for the faith. And then we wonder how they could accept so great an invitation. But that's not actually what Jesus says. Jesus did not say all that. Jesus said, "Come and follow me." It was a simple invitation. And even though these disciples would go on to do some very great things, it started with a simple invitation to join Jesus. And what's happening here is that, well, Jesus has already established the kingdom of God through his very presence. Jesus has brought light and life and salvation along with him, and now Jesus is simply inviting these men to live in that kingdom with him. And this, by the way, it's the same invitation that Jesus gives to you and me and all people today. Come and follow me. Live in the kingdom of God with my people. It's a good place. It's a place of community. It's a place of truth. It's a place of forgiveness. And it's still a simple invitation, by the way. Jesus says, repent and be baptized. A change of heart and a splash of water is all it takes. And this is not to make light of the, you know, the sacrament of holy baptism here, but I'm pointing out that Jesus does not make this hard. Jesus makes this easy for us. The kingdom is already here, and you know what? You're welcome. Now, Jesus does tell these men that he'll have some work for them to do. He says, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. And we know this statement refers to the mission of the church, that that they would go out, they would do good, they would minister through prayer, they would be the light and presence of Christ wherever they would find themselves. And we do this too. We do this for the sake of those who don't know Jesus. But even that work, going out to fish for people, it may take commitment to do it well, but it's not complicated for you and me, right? Jesus does the hard work here. Jesus is already at work in our neighborhoods and our communities, advancing the kingdom of God. Because remember, that's his job. Jesus does the hard work of preparing people to know him, to receive him in their hearts. Jesus does the hard work of creating faith. Jesus does the hard work of redeeming and restoring all things. And this is important to realize. When we talk about these things, creating faith, bringing people to the gospel, those are Jesus' job. This is important to realize that Jesus does not send us out on a mission for him. And that might be hard for us to kind of get our heads around that, but Jesus does not send us out on a mission for him. Jesus invites us to join him on the mission he's already doing. Come and follow me. Come with me. Because Jesus does all that hard work, and what's left for us to do, well, those are the simple things that really any child can do. Having conversations with the people around us. Doing a little bit of good in the places we're at. Maybe ministering to people around us through prayer. Talking to God together. And what this comes down to is really, it's being good neighbors to the people around us. That's why we're starting this message series. You may have been wondering so far, we're calling this whole message series Being Neighbors, and here's where we get to talking about neighbors. Because we're talking about being missionaries in our own neighborhoods. But all that boils down to is being good neighbors and acting like the people of God while we're at it. You know, I mentioned a moment ago that our country is changing. The church is still struggling to figure out how to respond to a changing America. And by and large, it seems like the church's response to a changing America has tended to be bigger and more complicated and more expensive, as if more church programs or flashy worship services are the key to Jesus' mission. But in fact, Jesus does not need us to be his salesmen. Jesus does not need us to be Jesus' cheerleaders. Jesus does not need us to figure out how to get people into church. Jesus is not worried. Jesus is inviting us to join him on the work that he's already doing. And being neighborhood missionaries doesn't require us to fill up our schedules with more church events, with lots of other things to do. We don't have to spend lots of money or travel around the world just to get the right expertise. Joining Jesus on his mission is about changing you and me, our minds and our hearts. It's about getting ourselves into a missional kind of mindset where we think of ourselves as people who share the gospel every day in many ways. And it's about putting into practice a few simple mission practices every day of our lives. And Jesus does the hard work here. He brings hope. He brings forgiveness of sins and eternal life, and he invites us to be part of that. And over these next few weeks, we're going to talk about what that looks like in our lives. Jesus says, come and follow me. How cool is that, that we get to be part of his mission? And so let me encourage you, over these next few weeks, join us as we talk about joining Jesus on his mission. And to close, I want to share a prayer with you. This was the prayer of a man named Father Michael Judge, who was a New York Fire Department chaplain, and he died, sadly, 17 years ago in the September 11th attacks on the World Trade Center. But the prayer he prayed every day sums up so well what joining Jesus on his mission is about. And this was his prayer. He said, Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say, and then keep me out of your way. Amen. And it's my hope and my prayer that that would be our attitude too, as individuals, as congregations, and as the people of God, as we join Jesus on his mission. Amen.